Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Wednesday, October 17th. I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is a big game preview breakdown with Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors and Raptors HQ, as well as his new Patreon that he just kicked up. A whole bunch of insight into the game, covering the teams, every little detail about this game that you want to know. Today's show has you covered. In the Cavs world, the only really news we have, aside from the Alarian Ant extension, which you should go and listen to my podcast with Jeff Siegel about, if you want a breakdown of that, is that J.R. Smith does not look like he's going to be playing on Wednesday. He has an elbow issue, had an MRI, and as far as we know, he is not going to be playing in the opener. He is listed as doubtful, but it's going to be a question, I think, about what he ends up looking like. The Cavs also did talk a little bit about Larry Nance this week. He did say, Kobe Altman did say, quote, "We are extremely excited to have Larry in a Cavaliers uniform long term. His athleticism is off the charts, and his positive attitude, work ethic, and most importantly, his desire to be in Cleveland embodies all we want of our players on and off the court." So pretty PR-y. According to sources that are telling Cleveland.com, he did work with the team to work on that de-escalation. He does genuinely seem happy to be here. So that's really where we're at with the Cavs right now. No JR, which sort of delays what we're going to learn about the rotation, and then Larry Nance getting some positive feedback about his new deal. Today's show is also brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know this is going to work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, CODE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code, CODE, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. But now, here's Sean Woodley and I talking about Cavs Raptors opening night. Back tomorrow, recapping the NBA season opener night for the Cavaliers. Basketball's back. I am pumped. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, it's Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors.
And it's Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers.
Chris, man, how's it going? We're recording this, full disclosure, Tuesday night, just after the Celtics beat the Sixers. So we're deep in the throes of opening night. The Warriors are getting their stupid championship rings, even though I don't know how this is still fun for them. So that's going on. It's the first day of the season. It's great. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I am mostly ready. I feel the least prepared to some degree than I ever have, but I think that's also because this Cavs team, I don't quite have an idea of what to expect. But yeah, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for. It's kind of fun that it's going to be Cavs Raptors to start off because both teams did change so much this summer, and it's. I mean, it's you know, in some way, it's a way for like Toronto to just like exercise some demons a little bit, even if it's not in the playoffs, and just get that one out of the way. And then for the Cavs, it's like, let's just see what happens because it's going to be weird.
I'm very much approaching this game as a full on avenging of the last three playoff losses. If they win this game, everything is fine.
Happened. The LeBron era actually never happened to the Raptors.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of hard to feel, like, down about losing to LeBron a bunch of times in hindsight. Like, it sucked at the time, especially last year when it seemed like they were, like, kind of ready to maybe actually do it, and the Cavs seemed like they were kind of bad. But in hindsight, You know, you lose to LeBron, that's fine. I can deal with that. I can get over that in short order. And also, I guess adding Kawhi Leonard to your team makes you feel a little bit better about that too.
But were you unnerved by his laugh? Like because I was like, what is going on here? And he's just kind of like a weird dude, but that laugh, man, was something.
I was not unnerved by the laugh until the little remix this morning came out of the laugh set to the Round Ball Rock theme.
Oh, Lord.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not. But now after we're done with this, I'm gonna have to.
I'll have to send it to you in the DMs. Maybe you can watch it and we can get your reaction live while we do the podcast. Yeah. I know I retweeted it earlier on. I've been doing a lot of tweets today.
Look,
so
you talk. I'm going to go find this. I'm going
to
watch it.
No, I got it right here. I'm going to send you the link to the tweet. All right. It's right here. I'm going to throw it in the DMs. And you can behold its beauty live and in person for the people to hear. Maybe you can even get it to play. Shouts to toll_cover for the extremely good NBA meme. It's very, very good. I just sent it to you, so you should have it now.
Here we go. I'm watching it. I don't know. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty special. I'm not sure if people heard that or not, but I can edit that in perhaps and maybe.
Yeah. Look, anyone who like wants to see this, like, I will put this in the show notes for the Lockdown Cavs pod. But like, oh my God, like this is like that laugh was horrifying, and this is both like amazing and terrifying at the same time. And like the guy, this @toll_covers Twitter Abby also just like makes it great because he's got like an old Count Chocula like cereal box.
Yeah, search Count Markula on Twitter, and you will find the person responsible for this monstrosity of a meme. But, it's really good, though. It's outstanding.
Yeah, I'm even more scared of Kawhi.
I don't even know how to make stuff like that. I probably should learn, considering I'm kind of in the internet business. But like, I just let other people make the videos, and I just crack jokes about them.
Yeah, I'm with that.
We should probably talk about Tuesday or Wednesday's game, the Raptors and Cavs opening the season. It's interesting. It's extremely different than it has been in many years. You were talking about how you don't really know anything about this Cavs team. I guess the thing I'm most interested in is, like, can Kevin Love get back to being Kevin Love like he was in Minnesota? Like, I know he was also very good with the Cavs, and he's a big reason why they won the title that year. But, like, he has never been the same type of player, right? He's been more of a pick and pop or stand in the corner and just kind of be there when LeBron needs help kind of guy, as opposed to sort of being the focal point of the offense. Are you excited to see what he's going to do in that role this season? I'm assuming that's what the Cavs are going to have him do. And like, do you think he's going to be able to kind of rediscover his old form, or is he just like a different player in a different phase of his career now?
So one thing that I find interesting is, and he did a Q&A, he's talked about this in his scrums, but he also talked about this when he did a Q&A with Rohan Nadkarni from SI, and then he said he's not going to be the same guy that he was in Minnesota in terms of just working off of the elbow. It sounds like he's going to be a more perimeter-oriented version of that, and I don't quite know what that means. You know, like, what is, like, a Kevin Love, Minnesota Kevin Love, but on the perimeter, what is I just don't quite understand what that means, because it just is something that I just don't know. Like, are you gonna run Kevin Love sets where he's standing just behind the 3-point line? Is that what that means? Like, does it mean it's gonna be like more involved versions of what he's done the last couple years? I just don't know. And just like, what does the personnel around him look like? Like, what does Tristan Thompson look like this year? What does Larry Nance look like as a big man partner? What does Jetty look like? What does Sexton look like? What does whoever Rodney Hood look like in all of this? I just don't know. And I also just like have like things that I'm sure about. Like, I think they're going to be atrocious on defense. And like, when you think about these things, it's hard to sort of know how it's going to work. And we saw very little. There's very little about the preseason other than that they're going to definitely try and play fast that I feel like I know right now. Obviously, we're not going to learn all of that in Toronto. And we're not going to learn all that in one game. But I think we're going to get it. It's the clearest idea we're going to get as to sort of what Ty Lue's plan is for this group this year.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can draw on from your experience from watching the Cavs team that lost LeBron the first time and sort of apply it to this team? I know it's kind of different because Kevin Love's still here, and it's not like the totally scorched earth roster that you were dealing with in 2010. I was at like the second game of that era for the Cavs against the Raptors, and I've never been more depressed. Like, I stopped watching basketball for like 2 years after going to that game. It really, really crushed me. It was just so dark with no LeBron and no Bosh. Like, are you expecting it to be that bad this time around? I know, like, there's kind of talk of the Cavs maybe being like a playoff contender, fringy team. I'm like tempted to maybe put them in there, but I still think like Charlotte and Detroit are kind of just like more, they have more adult players who can kind of shepherd a team to 38 wins in the eighth seed than I think the Cavs do. But I don't know, like, are you expecting it to be as downtrodden as it was, you know, 8 years ago?
No, because when he left last time, it was just a pit. It was just like the roster lacking of talent, a roster lacking of any good players, and they actually set everything up to avoid that this time. So they have Colin Sexton, who they really like, who is someone I think they believe in. They have Jetty, they have Kevin Love, they have Hood, they have JR and Channing Frye, so not just, I think, to be veteran presences, but to be players who can sort of keep the good vibes rolling and give you some nostalgia. I think they've set it up in that way. And they actively do not want to, as an organization, as much as like I think it is possible that they could fire people, that they could or trade, you know, trade Kevin Love in 6 months or something like that. When you think about who they're trying to sell themselves to, they're trying to act like they're a playoff team. And, like, they don't like saying the word rebuild. Like, I've used that in questions, and, like, I'm just going to say it's not exactly gone over well. Like, you get a rough vibe when you kind of say that. Kevin Love has sort of said, like, he came back because he thought they want to compete. They're going to try to sell themselves as someone who is going to, as an organization that's going to compete. And I think last time, you couldn't even sell that. Now you kind of can, I guess.
Yeah.
You could try to, at least until, like, you're getting wrecked by all the teams that you're hoping to compete against at the end of the month. Like, the thing about this Cavs schedule is, like, the type of teams they're playing this first month, they get Indiana, Detroit, Toronto, Atlanta. They have hit all these teams across the spectrum that are going to tell us early on sort of what we're looking at. They play Brooklyn next week. And, like, if they can't beat the Nets or don't look more competent than the Nets, like, what hope do they really have in making the playoffs?
Yeah, the Nets, man. Everyone thinks the Nets are always going to be like fun and nice. They're garbage. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that like more artsy NBA writers live in Brooklyn than anywhere else, and they like have to latch on to the Nets and thus romanticize them because they're the local team and there's something nice about the way they play. Or maybe Kenny Atkinson's a nice dude, but my God, last Wednesday the Raptors played them in the preseason and they're just not good. They don't have good players. D'Angelo Russell just makes me just super sad. I know, like, Caris LeVert's, like, a sexy, like, oh, he might be good. But, like, yeah, like, in good in what way, though? Like, good in a build a team that wins more than 33 games around him kind of way? Like, I don't really think so. And same goes for, like, Spencer Dinwiddie and all these kind of sad people they have. But we're not talking about the Nets. We're talking about the Cavs. I'm saying the Cavs should be able to beat the Nets is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think the Cavs have more talent than that. Like, I guess it kind of – a lot of it comes down to Colin Sexton, I guess, which is weird to say – because he's a rookie point guard, but like, what's the alternative to him? It's playing Jordan Clarkson a whole lot, right? So, if Colin Sexton isn't very good, then I think the whole thing could kind of fall off the rails a little bit. But like, if Sexton's like competent as a point guard, then like maybe they could. I guess George Hill's there too. I totally forgot about George Hill. This team's not that terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I look. You're more optimistic, I think, than I am. Like which is wild.
Optimistic per se. I'm just like, I don't think they're like, I think they're firmly in kind of their own tier in the East where they're not one of the dog poo teams, but they're also not the Pistons or Hornets. You know what I mean? Like, I think those two are kind of on their own tier. Then the Cavs are like their own, and then there's just like the bottom feeders. And I don't think the Cavs are that, but maybe the defense will be bad enough that it will be. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And I think like how like willing like Ty Lue was to play young guys and let them make mistakes, we'll say something about that. And look, like when I say that you're the when Raptors fans watch this game, Wednesday. They're going to see a team that is going to play faster, which is going to be wild. They're going to see a team that is going to be playing different types of guys, running different sets. Like, it just isn't going to look like the same team anymore. And, like, that is, like, visually, that is a weird thing. You know, it's, like, I'm sure for you, like, in this preseason, it's been a little bit weird to not, like, you watch the Raptors the last 4 years or whatever, and, like, DeMar, or for however long he was there, and, like, what DeMar DeRozan did was just sort of part of the team's DNA. Like, the last 4 years have been defined by kind of slow LeBron iso ball and him lollygagging on defense. And, like, that's just not there anymore. And that's, like,
kind of weird. And also him berating people.
Yeah, right. Right.
What are you going to do without, like, crazy interpersonal soap opera drama to deal with this season? Like, is it going to be less, like, interesting to cover?
I'm going
to
get more sleep. I'm super pumped about it. I'm going to, like, get on, like, a normal sleep schedule. Like, I'm going to, like, have time to, like, you know, watch The Good Place every week. Like, there's these little things I'm going to sneak in because I don't have to write a blog post about what LeBron, like what LeBron subtweeted about somebody.
Yeah, that's going to be the Raptors thing all season is, like, I mean, I'm part of it myself because every time Kawhi smiles, I'm like, all right, take a screenshot, put it on the bulletin board for the reasons why he's staying, attach it to the top thing, which is just a printout of what his 5-year Supermax is, and attach it with a red string to the photo, and then by the end of the day, it'll look like the 13th episode of a season of The Wire, and, you know, it'll be confirmed that he's coming. So, like, that's our burden this season. Like, the Raptors are going to be extremely good, but being extremely good with a, I guess, turbulent star player, I don't think Kawhi is turbulent in the way that LeBron is, where he's just, like, actively just, like, throwing shaded dudes all the time. But just the whole is he going to stay conversation is going to get exhausting, I think, pretty quickly. And that's part of what comes with being a fan of a really good team, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when you look at this Raptors team, obviously all the big changes happened this summer. It's going to be a season-long story with Kawhi. But when you've watched them in the preseason, what do you feel like, and with Nick Nurse coaching this team now, what do you feel like you've learned from the preseason or just the general things that are coming out of the team right now from whatever they're saying or what they're kind of showcasing?
Yeah, it's a lot of things that are familiar while also kind of underneath a different philosophy, I think, because, like, the offense is going to be very much the same as it was last season, I think. And, you know, that was a Nick Nurse designed offense, and you just take out DeMar DeRozan and put Kawhi Leonard in, who's just, like, better at most of the things DeMar was really good at and is kind of similar in the way in which he goes about getting his offense. Like, Kawhi's no stranger to the mid-range. He'll do that from time to time or quite often, and he's pretty good at it. So he's better than DeMar at it, actually. So, like, it's going to be very similar. And so I think the offense is going to kind of be pretty comfortable for people to watch. People are going to be like, yeah, I know exactly what this is, and I know what's coming, and it's going to be very good. In terms of the defense, though, like, actually Nick Nurse was talking today in his little practice, post-practice scrum or whatever, talking about the defense and how it was kind of interesting. So he was like, yeah, you guys all, like, are talking as if we were a good defense last season. And we were, I suppose, if the research says, like, yeah, they were a top 4 or 5 defense. But he was like, I don't know, if you peel back the layers a little bit, I think that would reveal some truths about how good we actually were. And where I think he's, like, totally identifying, like, the John Schumann stat about them sucking against really good offenses, and then obviously that manifested itself in the playoffs against the Cavs in the second round. So I think the defense is going to be extremely different than what it's been. I think Nurse wants to be really aggressive, and we've kind of seen that. And, like, how could you not want to be aggressive when of your 12, 13 guys who are going to see minutes at some point, 10 of them are really good defenders. One of them is, like, a so-so defender, and two are kind of bad. The two being, like, Greg Monroe and CJ Miles, like, the only obvious negative defenders on the team. Everyone else is a good defender. And, like, there are dudes who just, like, jump passing lanes and who aren't glaring liabilities the way DeMar DeRozan was. And I just think the way Nurse is going to be able to kind of get creative on defense is going to be really awesome. So I'm looking forward to that more than anything, I think, in just in terms of how they're going to play, because that's the one thing I think will be different. And I think they're going to be, like, a top 3 defensive team this season. I think they're going to be really, really good. And then the other thing too is, like, I kind of want to get your opinion on this, because I think kind of philosophies differ on this, but Nurse was also talking today about how he is kind of, like, he doesn't have a starting line the starting lineup figured out for tomorrow, and he was looking at the schedule and being like, yeah, like this game might be a JV game, this game might be a surge game. I think the thing that's clear is that they're only going to start one big, which is cool, and I think that means we're going to see a lot of OG Kawhi and Danny Green just absolutely murdering people on defense. But the way that Nurse seems to be very flexible with how he's going to deploy his starting five is new, considering Dwayne Casey famously once started Luis Scola for an entire season and never switched him out, and didn't do so until like deep into the playoffs, which was insane. But I don't know, like, what is your kind of take on the idea of a team going into a season, especially a team that's really good and has high expectations, just being like, yeah, we don't really care about having a starting five. Like, we'll figure it out. Like, don't overblow it. We'll figure it out, and we want to see what happens against certain matchups.
I like it. I think it's smartly flexible. I think it doesn't hold you into a certain style. I think it's easier to sell the players than promising, like, Serge or JV that he's going to start from day one. I think that certainly, I think, plays a part in why, to me, in that opinion, that makes sense. It's funny because the Cavs, I mean, they're on the different spectrum here, but they're doing the same thing. I think they're going to start Tristan against Toronto, but they have said, Ty did say that Nance and him are going to start depending on who they play. So, right. Like, that is going to be something where they're going to do. And, like, for me, in looking at this game, the there's the one thing that I sort of feel like I will learn something about this Cavs team really does depend on Toronto playing a lot of their smaller guys and playing small and having guys on the floor that can defend all those positions. So really, you know, OG, you know, getting Van Vliet up against Colin Sexton, Kawhi, obviously, and Danny Green. Can Jetty, can Rodney Hood, can George Hill, can Sexton, can Jordan Clarkson, shout out to Jordan Clarkson, like, get enough quality shots and help create enough quality shots to help Kevin Love and to, like, survive against a really good defense. And if the Cavs, like, look overmatched, and yes, it's night one, and we don't want to draw too much from one game, et cetera, but if they just look overwhelmed and, like, struggle, that's a bad vibe for the first game of the year. And that, to me, is, like, sort of the one thing I feel like I will learn something tangible. Obviously, like, again, one game, the Cavs could do things could get weird. The Cavs could, like, win the game randomly, and sure. But if we're looking at sort of, like, what we would expect qualitatively, like, that's sort of, like, the one breakdown. And it could be too early for Toronto, too, right? Like, the defense is the hardest part of basketball. It's hard to scheme. It's, you know, what does Kawhi sort of look like? All these different things. By the way, how has Kawhi, like, looked? Like, does he seem like he's just gonna be, like, Kawhi again?
There are, like, flashes where he just is insane. Like, there was the game against the Jazz, which the first half of that game before the Raptors benched all their starters was probably the most impressive they've looked, and they looked amazing for the entire second quarter. Like, the Jazz couldn't even muster anything on offense. And on the other end, like, they were just like, okay, Kawhi, you're gonna ISO on Jay Crowder 10 times in a row. And he cooked Jay Crowder like 9 of 10 times. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, this is a different kind of dude who Raptors fans haven't seen before. His shot has been a little wayward. Like, I think he's kind of, you know, figuring that stroke out a little bit. But, like, you would figure someone who has barely played for a year, like, that's the last thing that'll come in terms of, like, you know, getting rid of the rust. I mean, there have been possessions where he does Kawhi things on defense where he'll, you know, jump a passing lane, he'll pick a steal and go down for a dunk. Like, he's. Like, he looks like Kawhi aside from the shooting accuracy, which I'm not too concerned about at this point. And the thing that's, like, most encouraging to me is that, like, he's pretty eager, it seems, to, you know, hunt contact and just, like, attack the basket, which I think for Raptors fans is the most encouraging thing that you could possibly see out of the preseason, because it means that he feels comfortable and healthy in doing that. I mean, he took a couple falls in the first preseason game and it was like, all right, dude, we get it. You're healthy. Please stop doing that. But if he's comfortable doing that, I think that is a sign above all else that, like, he is fully back to at least a level of health that he's comfortable with. And if that's the case, like, it's only a matter of time before the Kawhi Leonard skills kind of come through. And I'm totally over the moon excited to watch him play for the Raptors, man. It's, you know, obviously Cavs fans know all about this, right? Because they've had LeBron for on and off periods over the last decade and a half. And, like, it's totally different. And Raptors fans have had good players. DeMar was a very good player. Kyle Lowry's incredible. Vince Carter even was amazing. But, like, to see Kawhi and just the way that he can kind of tilt the game, even in the preseason for, like, little 5-10 minute stretches, it's it's brand new and it's remarkable, and I think Raptors fans are quickly going to realize exactly why it is Masai said, "Yeah, screw it, we got to make this trade to get this guy on our team."
I'm very happy for like everyone that because it is really exciting to see like that a player of that caliber on the team. Like you're covering a team you root for. Like it is like a very crazy sort of surreal experience when you think about it. And like you just have to kind of take it as it comes, and it can be like more stressful and frustrating at times, but it's sort of worth it because that guy is, incredible. And is and can bring you new things that you're not sort of used to seeing. Are you? When you look at this game and you look at this is the beginning of this season for Toronto, coming off whatever their preseason looked like, are you expecting a team that is going to be ready to go from the gate, ready to or going to start off the season a little bit slower? Like that to me is the other thing about this. It's like a season opener where I don't think we're going to learn a ton, but are you expecting to have a team that is ready to rock on night one?
It's hard to say, right? Like, I think their defense is still going to take some time. There have been some lapses there, and I think it's just a matter of them feeling each other out, and that'll come at some point because there are too many really good defenders on the team for that not to work. And like, I think the Raptors, for the most part, are kind of they do have more continuity than maybe is implied just because they have Kawhi now. Like, I mean, the whole second unit is still the second unit, and we saw what it did last season playing together. I mean, they just absolutely just wipe teams off the floor, and that's all back. And in theory, they should be better in a lot of those guys. Like, I think Pascal Siakam this season is going to be awesome. I'm super pumped to watch him play. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of the season he's starting in at the power forward spot, just because I think he might just bring a little bit more dynamism to his role and when he's on the court than an OG does. But that's going to depend on his shooting and whatnot, and that's always going to be a question with him until it's not. But yeah, I think the defense will take some time, but the offense is going to click, and there are too many good players on the team for it not to be. Just like everyone can shoot, so like even when they have like games where their process isn't quite there, or like they just even in games like where they get a bunch of threes up, like eventually the volume's going to win out. And I think just the number of guys they have who are good 3-point shooters, which is just so much more than it was last season. It's crazy how swapping out one guy for two and just like having a bit of internal development kind of changes the whole complexion of the roster. Because last season it was Kyle, CJ Miles, Serge, and then like Fred VanVleet, and that was about it for reliable 3-point shooters. And even Serge wasn't particularly great last season. Whereas this season, like, there's just very few lineups the Raptors are going to have where they have fewer than four good shooters on the court, which is kind of freaking bonkers, and also really good if you're interested in being a good team. So that stuff will just kind of, I think, easily translate over. And Kawhi seems like I mean, the chemistry with him and Kyle, I think Nick Nurse really was kind of paying attention to getting them playing together a lot in the preseason. They kind of shared every minute in the first half of all these games that they played and then sat the second half. And like, they already showed chemistry. And I feel like Kyle, people think he's ornery or whatever. Like, I think it's all just kind of a facade that he puts on. And people love to overreact to Kyle Lowry saying things or doing things or not saying or not doing things. But just the on-court chemistry and the way that they seem to talk about each other is like, yeah, like I think they recognize it's like game recognize game, right? And they're just kind of, I think it's going to be a very good on-court relationship. Maybe they won't have the same antics that Kyle and DeMar did, obviously, because they're not amazing friends or whatever. But I think they kind of realize that. If anyone's going to realize that this team is amazing with Kawhi on it, it's Kyle Lowry. He's really freaking smart. He knows what's going on. So, no, I don't really have any concerns about them hitting the ground running or anything like that, if that's what you're asking. And that's a roundabout way of answering it.
And the flip side of this, I do have concerns sort of about the Cavs because I just don't feel like they like Kevin Love didn't play a ton in the preseason. I don't know if I don't I have to double check my notes, but I don't know if him and Sexton like played any meaningful minutes together, if any minutes at all. When JR doesn't look like he's gonna play due to a elbow issue on opening night, so that sort of delays the answer of like what his role sort of is gonna be. We don't really know what Ty's rotations are gonna look like. There's just like a bunch of questions, and they could be, in, they're gonna be in better shape, I think, from everything I've been told. And Nance has had an ankle injury, so there's like, I'm sure they're gonna be like ready to run, and I just have no idea what that looks like.
Right.
I just don't know. And like, look, like I cannot like speak to this because like they've all downplayed it as I sort of expect they would, but if you're the Cavs, and you're specifically guys, I mean, maybe not Kevin Love because he's getting paid, and Tristan, because Tristan just seems like he's ready to, like, take on everybody this year, and he looks pretty healthy, actually. But if you're, like, in general, a team that lost LeBron James, it's got to be weird, right? Like, the preseason is one thing, but, like, getting to the regular season and, like, playing this team you've, like, wrecked the last 4 years, but sort of know it's because of a guy that's no longer on your team, that's, like, got to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know, like, what that does to your psyche, or, like, again, like, that's all, that's, like, speculation and sort of just, like, playing doctor over here, but, like, that's got to be weird, and I just wonder what that sort of means for an opening night game.
Well, if you're Tristan Thompson, the East still runs through the Cavs, so.
I mean, technically, until, like.
I guess he's ready
they,
to go.
Look, and technically, until they lose it, it's true. And so he's right until the Cavs, like, don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Or get swept in the first round by any number of teams they could potentially play.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would the funniest outcome for the Cavs, like, them, like, getting swept by the Celtics, but Tristan just, like, thoroughly outplaying Al Horford in the first round? Like, would be okay with that, I guess.
It would be truly beautiful. I know they just signed Kevin Love to the new deal, right? So he's probably hard to trade. But, like, do you see this being a team that, like, if it gets to the deadline, they'll just be like, you know what? It was a good run. I know Dan Gilbert's an idiot, so maybe he won't really think long term. But, like, do you think there's a chance that they get to the All-Star break or whatever and they're not doing so hot, on pace for, like, low 30s wins, and they're just like, yeah, let's trade Kyle Korver, let's trade Larry Nance, let's trade, I know they're signing Nance too, but, like, I don't know, could you just see them kind of moving on from a lot of the guys they brought in to fill out the roster around LeBron, or do you think they're going to try to keep those guys around as, like, culture-y dudes?
Totally possible. Possible they, like, flip Kevin Love to someone who, like, wants to feels like they can compete a little bit more right now. But the problem is, I don't think you're getting a lot back. I don't think there's a, and unfortunately, and that contract, and unless he's just, like, a machine or some team just, like, does something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. Like, there's a lot of bad general managers. I cannot see a situation where, like, you get a haul back for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
So, like, what, like, Zach Lowe, like, wrote a, like predicted that Kevin Love would get traded, like, in his, like, random thoughts column, and it was, like, something like Jeremy Lamb and, like, a protected pick and, like, Batum or something from the Hornets as, like, the framework of a deal, and I'm like, okay, like, why? But, like, why do it at that point? Like, why? Like, what's the point, you know? Like, what's the point of just, like...
I guess
just,
if you're,
like,
really trying to suck, that's the way to do it.
And, like, are you gonna get, like, I mean, I guess you're getting, like, picks and stuff, but, like... I don't know. My guess is that they're gonna, like, they would ride out this season and look at that next summer, but I guess, I mean, if they're, like, just already guaranteed to have, like, be one of the worst five teams in the league come the deadline, like, I guess, like, anything's on the table, and then, like, maybe Kevin Love is, like, a Charlotte Hornet or, like, an Orlando Magic or just something silly, like, you know, I mean, watch, just the Kings are going to be like, all right, you can have our, like, they don't have their own pick, but, like, we're going to give you, like, we're going to give you our future picks for Kevin Love, or just something, like, really, like, bizarre, could happen, I guess. And, but that I think happens if things get really, really bad. And then what that means for, like Ty Lue at that point, I just feel bad for the guy. Cause I think there's already some pushback of, like, he doesn't want to, like, necessarily go in all in on the youth, and the front office maybe wants him to lead into it a little bit more. That's like a thing where it's like, if they just trade Kevin Love, he's just gonna be like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? And that's gonna be weird too.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, Cavs are such a weird team, man.
They're super weird.
I mean, how could you not be weird after LeBron leaves? That's kind of impossible not to be, I suppose. But still, you're going to have an interesting season to cover, at least. Like, are you kind of interested and, like, refreshed a little bit in your – because I'm feeling this right now with the Raptors. And obviously it's different because the Raptors are actively better with Kawhi. But, like, I was fine with them running it back. But as, like, someone who covers the team, I was like, yeah, but, like, it's the same thing, and it'll be interesting, I guess, and it'll be fun for 50 games. But as a fan, I'd be down for that. But as covering it, I was just like, all right, we're going to talk about the same stuff for a year. But now that Kawhi's back, it's just like a whole, or Kawhi's here, it's just like a whole new realm of possibilities for content, I suppose. Are you kind of feeling the same way in that, like, it's a bit, obviously it's not as good because you're not going to the finals or whatever, but is it, like, I don't know, do you feel refreshed in terms of covering the team? Are there, like, new storylines that you're kind of interested in following for the first time? And are you interested to cover, like, a different kind of team than the Cavs have been the last 4 years?
Yes, and it's better for me that LeBron's not there because there's just less people. Like, that's, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's it's beautiful. Like, last year I could go into a locker room after a game and, like, I could maybe got within 2 feet of a scrum in front of LeBron. Never, you don't get one-on-ones. It's hard, a lot harder to get one-on-ones in those situations. Now, like, not only the Cavs, like, redid, like, their media room, so it's, like, actually, like, really nice now, but with Chargers, like, there's Chargers, like, ports everywhere. It's beautiful. I'm so happy. Big tables, like, elbow room. It's great. It's what I care about. It's the important stuff. But
what's
like,
what's the food scene like for the Cavs media?
You know, here's a take. I never buy media food at games. I bring
neither do I just take free pizza that they put out.
Oh, the Cavs have like popcorn and stuff. I just bring my peanut butter and jelly. I literally eat a peanut butter and jelly before like every game. I take the train into the city and I eat a peanut butter and jelly, creamy peanut butter, no sugar added, wheat bread, grape jam.
Grape jam. Grape jam's not really a thing in Canada the way I think it is in the States. Is it like the main jam in
people,
the States?
I feel like more people are into strawberry. I'm just a grape guy. I'm not a big strawberry
guy. I'm a blueberry guy myself.
Oh, blueberry's good. Blueberry is a good call. That'd be, I think, my number two.
I just had like 10 minutes before coming on this podcast some toast with peanut butter and blueberry jam.
It's perfect.
Although I go like Kraft peanut butter, I guess. I'm not the fancy bougie stuff that you're eating.
Well, I just like don't like the, I think I just don't eat it with sugar. Like it's just like natural peanut butter, so it's still like I can just buy it at like any grocery store, but it's like I have to stir it and stuff, but it doesn't like it actually tastes like peanuts. Like it doesn't taste just like sugar.
See, I don't find peanut butter tastes like sugar either. I don't know.
Weird. But like some American peanut butter is just like very, very sugary. And, like, the stuff that most people buy for their kids, like, that I ate growing up is just, like, full of sugar. And once you, like, once that lid has been, like, once, like, your eyes have been, like, pulled back and you just, like, see, like, that you don't need to eat it, it's, like, much better. But, look, like, I've, like, with this Cavs team, I can, like, it's a lot easier to talk to people. It's a lot easier to get around. It's a lot easier to, like, kind of, like, navigate weird stories. It's just like for me in the type of position I am in and like just being like someone who isn't traveling with the team, isn't doesn't, you know, just unfortunately can't do that, is sort of just like fitting stuff in as I have time around everything else. It is better for me to like just be able to go in and like have a better chance of like just pulling someone aside for 5 minutes than I would otherwise. So like that for me, that really, really works. And for other guys, you know, for other people, I'm sure like it's a letdown that like LeBron's not there. Like I, you know, Joe Varden just got a job at The Athletic, but like he took this job to like cover LeBron. I'm sure that's weird. But yeah. For readers, like there's less people around, so you get less Cavs stuff. But it's for me personally, it's better. But like I'm sure free with Kawhi, like is it better? Are you like, I know you kind of said you're more interested, but is it like, does it change? Has it changed how you approach anything at all? Does your, like, for me, this has, like, changed sort of, like, what I feel like I have to do on a day-to-day, but, like, has Kawhi's arrival changed that for you?
Probably not, because I don't think I do quite as much, like, reportering as a lot of people. Probably because I am weird and scared to do that kind of stuff, but... and also, like, yeah, the Raptors are... Like, they're probably going to be less accessible this season just because of everything going around them. And that's understandable, I suppose, and... So, like, it might be, like, an inverse type of thing. I've just, as someone who, like, talks about the team and has to watch it every single day, like, I am so much more fascinated by, like, how this team is going to operate than just watching the same Dwayne Casey, DeMar DeRozan team be very good consistently like it was, right? Like, this, there's a lot more volatility, I think, this season because things could go poorly, I suppose. But I'm just, like, I'm kind of more interested just kind of to ride the regular season roller coaster a little bit than I was last year, where last year it was kind of just, like, one of those swan rides that goes through the pond and it's very pretty and nice, but like it's the same thing and not particularly exhilarating. Whereas this has a lot more potential for like insane highs and potentially like the lowest of lows if Kawhi ends up leaving and the thing doesn't work out. But like the, just sort of the daily interest in the team, I think, will be far more, but it's just going to be a more compelling season, I think, than it has been in a long time. And like Raptors fans, like, be ready for it, because you always complain about not having attention or whatever. Like, there's going to be attention this season. Like, there's going to be a lot of it. So you better be ready for it, I guess. Like, it's going to be exhausting, I'm sure, on some levels. But it's just, it's a different team than it has been, which is kind of nice.
Let's wrap it up, I think, on just one thing here. Who wins Wednesday? And what is like, the thing that maybe we haven't talked about that you want to see what the Raptors do?
Yeah, so right now on Oddshark, the Raptors are 12-point favorites. I think the Raptors are going to win in cover. They're really good at home. The crowd's going to be super-duper jacked up to see Kawhi. Kawhi hasn't played in Toronto yet because they only had one home preseason game, and it was against Melbourne, and they didn't play any of their starters. So they're saving Kawhi's debut for tomorrow, which is going to be awesome. And it's almost today. This is very late now that we're recording this thing, but... So I think the Raptors are going to win and cover. I think they're going to be pretty jacked up, and I think they're very, very good. And I don't think the Cavs are particularly awesome, especially if like JR is not playing. And if Kevin Love's still kind of working his way back from being hurt, I'm going to take the Raptors to win by quite a bit. And as far as stuff that maybe we haven't seen, like, I guess if people haven't watched the preseason, watching Pascal Siakam is going to be really cool because he is now like running fast breaks and running the offense in the half court for the bench and kind of letting Fred VanVleet spot up a little bit. And it's pretty awesome because Pascal, he can pass. He is extremely talented and also insanely fast. And as soon as the three-point shot comes, it's going to be absolutely terrifying. And if that comes at all, like, it might not. It doesn't always come for guys, but... It's pretty tantalizing. So watch out for Pascal Siakam, I suppose, is my words of wisdom to Cavs fans. Do you have anything Raptors fans should be taking an eye out? Or what's your pick? And then, the thing that the Raptors fans should be keeping an eye out for from the Cavs.
So I will say that the Raptors should win this game pretty handily. I feel pretty confident in saying that. My thing to watch for is just, like, let's just, like, see... Like, number one, what Colin Sexton sort of looks like and who he goes against. I want to see him against Lowry and Van Vliet, I think, ideally, and Delon Roy, too, and how he just handles those type of things and what the Cavs ask him to do. We just don't really quite know what his role is going to be yet, aside from getting some chance to initiate the offense when he is in the game. But, like, does he have to see Jordan Clarkson? Does he get time on his own? Does he get time with Kevin Love? I really want to see how... He sort of reacts to those type of things. And the other, to kind of to link this together, how does Jetty do against Kawhi? The Cavs are going to throw Jetty to the deep end this year and have him defend the best opposing scorer on other teams. He's going to start with Kawhi, and that's pretty wild. And I probably don't think it goes well, but I'm here to see him try.
It does seem slightly cruel and perhaps unfair for Kawhi or for Jetty to have to like go up against Kawhi on offense at some point. That seems mean.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, like, it like, but it's like him and Rodney Hood's like, what are you gonna do? It's not
you. Might even be more sad and unfair for Rodney Hood, that poor guy.
Well, and like, they can't have like Kyle, like if they bring like Kyle Korver off as like the backup emergency three or something, like that's not fair. Or like David Nwaba is like going to get some minutes just to guard, get roasted by Kawhi. Like, it's a tough look for anyone.
Yeah, I think I've just made my decision. I don't think the Cavs are making the playoffs, Chris. I'm sorry.
I don't think so either. I think they're going to be I think they're going to end up picking like having like the seventh best odds of the top pick is what I sort of think happens.
Well, that's good, I suppose. And just because the Cavs aren't good doesn't mean we won't talk a lot on this podcast. We're going to do it all the time because you're one of my favorite people to do these crossovers with. They're always very good. I guess we should plug stuff, huh?
Yeah.
What do you have to plug?
Yeah, go to Fear the Sword. Go to read all of our stuff, read everything we have going up. We have a full crew this year. Justin Carter, David Zabak is back. We got a whole bunch of stuff there. And just check out Lockdown Cavs. I have an interview with Colin Sexton. That came out about a week ago, 2 weeks ago at this point, and I have some more interviews with players kind of coming up soon that are going to be fun. One of the perks of no LeBron. So check out that, and just check out all the stuff we're doing over Fear the Sword.
Very cool. You can check out Raptors HQ, of course. I will be at the game tomorrow. I'm sure I'll have something written on that at some point on Thursday. Also, I have a Patreon page now because rent is expensive and I would like to pay it. And it'd be nice if you are a fan of my work. If you, for example, enjoyed my ranking of all 218 Raptors players, for example, on Raptors HQ, that's the kind of stuff I'm going to be doing more often on my Patreon page. Also, some podcasts with cool guests. Kelly Dwyer from formerly Yahoo, now The Second Arrangement, is coming on the very first premium podcast. So if you're interested in a podcast previewing the Raptors season with Kelly Dwyer, who is awesome, please subscribe to my Patreon page. And there are plenty of different tiers there. Anything is deeply, deeply appreciated. So thank you for taking the time to do that. And yeah, follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. Follow, subscribe, rate, review Locked On Raptors on iTunes. All the stuff that you normally would usually hear me ask you to do. All right, Chris, man, this was great.
Yeah, and basketball's back. Thank God.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We will talk to you next time.